In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is Isaiah, the 25th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, why do people read poems? Well, because poems are powerful. Poems reveal truth that otherwise goes unnoticed. Truth that makes significant life possible. Sigmund Freud, of all people, thought that poets were the first to salvage from the whirlpool of their emotions the deepest truth to which we others have to force our way. On a related note, John Berryman writes, "These songs are not meant to be understood. You understand. They are only meant to terrify and comfort." Truth. Terrifying and comforting. That is what poetry delivers. So tonight, I offer two poems, two truths for you to ponder. The first is a poem by Joan Alshire entitled "The Dead." In poems I read, the dead always appear as a collective noun, gray mass without feature, to be feared or made fun of, and so to be erased, as if we hadn't once loved or fought with them, and as if we won't end the same. Chew on the poem a little bit because it salvages a deep truth that usually must be forced upon us. Although we live as if it won't happen, although we live as if we are special, as if we are different, as somehow if we counted, as if we won't end the same. The truth is that we are the same. All of us. Sooner or later, are the dead. Collective noun. Gray mass without feature. For the wages of sin is death. Your obituary, of course, will fake another story. It will say that you are loved and that you are missed. But really? That is just a closing salute. One final hurrah before we close the book on you permanently. And not too many years later, the living will hardly remember you. The dead are erased, as if we hadn't once loved or fought with them, and as if we won't end the same. Poets seem most painfully aware of the tragic nature of our lives and invite us into their houses of mourning. "Do not go gentle into that good night," says Dylan Thomas. "Old age should burn and rave at the close of the day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light." Death is the Babylon of our soul. "Rage against it," says the poet. But Babylon is too strong for the Israelites. Babylon was destined to win. Death always wins. Now, when I first became a pastor, I must confess that sometimes when death got real up close and personal, I wanted to walk away from it, or I wanted to joke about it. Somehow, I wanted to erase it. Because death tended to rob me of my speech. See, the eloquent words of a poet rarely came to this stilled mouth. There were no captivating stories when I was sitting in the emergency room with a woman sobbing who had just lost her father. Or when I watched death rip apart a family, a husband from his wife, a wife from her husband. Nor when a 56-year-old father told me he wanted to die so that he could see his son whom long ago death snatched at birth. And my breath left me. Silent. Searching. For words. Death hollowed my speech. Words seemed powerless to me to do the work I needed them to do. Faced with the hard truth that hammers a nail into the coffin every moment of every day, I sometimes wanted to spend my time doing anything but dealing with death and the dead and the dying. It was easy to tell myself that there was nothing I could really do. See, time heals all wounds, or death is a fact of life. You know the cliches as well as I do. I would have liked to erase death from my life too, as if I wouldn't end up the same. Death is such a big problem that it inspires poets who hear the trampling of the approaching beast before most of us seem to. In awe, they talk eloquently and ferociously about it. But when it comes to challenging it, when it comes to getting around it, no one, no, not even one, in and of themselves, has the right words to do that. Except there is this one poet, a single voice, whose poetry is different. Another truth, comforting. Or terrifying. You decide. Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, will prepare for all peoples on this mountain a feast of the richest foods, a feast of fine wine, the fattest full of marrow, fine wine refined. And he will devour on this mountain the shroud over all peoples. And the web woven over all the nations. He will devour death forever. And Adonai Yahweh, the Lord God himself, will wipe every tear from their eyes. And the disgrace of his people, he will remove from all the earth. Certainly, Yahweh, God himself, has promised. A different kind of poet. A prophet comes with poetry that digs at our hidden fear. But can it possibly be true? What kind of poetry is this? The death of death. The poet does not bow to Babylon's power. He predicts her defeat. Is this just a dream wrung from the poet's desperate heart? Is this a product of his imagination? Well, along with this poem, in the church, we have a historical narrative, a story that we tell. An account that proclaims a similar truth. It is the story of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, the Son of God, who preached that he had come to bring salvation that Israel's poets had promised long ago. And you know how the story goes. He was killed at the hands of those who hated the truth of his words. Death wins again.
except that it didn't.
As we have heard it told, Jesus was the one that death could not keep down. And then again on the third day, he rose again from the grave. The word is that the Father raised his Son Jesus from the dead. The word is that death may be strong, but our Lord and our God is stronger. If it is true, if God raised his Jesus, then maybe there is hope for me too. Hope that I won't end up as the gray mass without feature, erased. But no. That's crazy. People don't rise from the grave. Yet the poet says that God will devour death for all people. Could it be? Well, that's the great part of the story of Jesus. The great part of the story is that he is the resurrection and the life, and that I am in on the resurrection because God has decided to include me. And that is what I'm bearing witness about this evening. I was baptized into Christ. And that's when Jesus' story, that when Jesus' death and resurrection became my death and resurrection, when his story became my story. I died and I rose with Christ. The Holy Spirit brought me through the Exodus waters and made me one of God's own children, bought with his precious blood. The prophet's poem becomes my comfort, not my terror, my hope, and not my despair. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Can this resurrection hope really be for you too? If you wonder, can I really be done with death? Can I really get death off my back? Then come to the Lord's Supper and hear Jesus' powerful words. This is my body and this is my blood, given for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. The resurrected Jesus says it, and so it is true. The Lord's Supper is a feast of the resurrection. It is the feast of the victory for our God. It is the table prepared for you in the presence of your enemies, that you may eat, that you may drink, that you may be satisfied and pass over from death to life. Knowing full well that your enemies of death do not win, that they are not the forever and that they are not the always, because Christ himself is risen from the grave. And here at this table and at Emmanuel's table, every Sunday, there's a celebration of the resurrection that breaks forth. Not just Jesus' resurrection, but your resurrection as well. Here at the Lord's table, death does not rule. The risen Christ rules. The Lord's Supper is a tangible foretaste, a bite of that final banquet, the feast to come pictured by our poet. Here we gather in anticipation of that great and glorious day and experience and touch the grace and salvation that await us in Jesus Christ when he returns. Here we remember Jesus' death and his victory over death until he comes again to remove the shroud forever. This feast sustains us on our journey. And that is why Christ gave it to us before his own journey to the cross and to the tomb. In the face of death, this meal gives you your voice back. As St. Paul says, here we proclaim Christ's death a death that ended in the death of death until he comes again. Over and against your own death, you proclaim the death of Christ. A death that ends not in your death, but ends in eternal life. Death cannot rewrite what God has written for you in Jesus Christ. For the moment, we live in a world shrouded in death. It is a world in the shadows, and those shadows touch the lives of us all. In a way, we are exiles in Babylon, but we are not helpless. We are the community of the baptized, those who have been bought with Jesus' own blood, those who have died with Christ and risen with Him. We are the saints. And we gather around this table in the hope and the anticipation that death does not have the final, last word over our lives. Babylon fell at God's command. So will death at the last trumpet. Christ, not death, writes the poetry of our lives. And in Him, we say,